Hi, Ari. How are you?
You may not like translations, but I have to tell you, it's very difficult without them.
No, what I would suggest is when you come in, if you need translations on the Chumash, to come in with the Chumash in English.
I had last week, and then...
No, bring the Chumash in English, because if I start translating all the Pesukim, it's to come with 15 pages.
What's the favorite thing
today? Were you able to bring some from last week?
Were you able to bring sheets from last week?
Okay, no, put that one
there. This is separate? Okay.
That's the original.
Okay, I didn't want to take that from you. Is this the original too?
No, it just has my notes on it.
You can, sorry.
You can take everything if you want. It's fine.
But you have to get the bootleg version. Yeah. Did you be able to bring the sheets from last week?
The sheets from last week.
Yeah.
Next when do week. I have them?
Okay. Still exist.
I wasn't here.
Right. Oh, see, okay. I was supposed to take. Four different people were like, "Can you take notes for me next week? Can you take this? Can you?" And I like went AWOL and went to murder.
Okay.
Again.
Next week.
Also, could you bring okay. That's also 90.
Yeah.
So I'll bring it up.
Okay, ladies, let's begin. We are ready. When we look at the beginning of the parasha, something is missing. So let me read it, and of course you'll identify what's missing. See, it's much easier to interpret what it says. It's more difficult to figure out what it doesn't say. Vayuchei Sarah, Mea Shana Be'eshrim Shana, B'sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sarah. The years of Sarah's life was 127. These were the days of her life. But Tamat Sarah Bekirat Arba Hi Chevron, Eretz Canaan. Sarah died in Chevron, land of Canaan. Ve'yavo Avraham L'sfod L'Sarah V'Livkota. And Avram came to eulogize her and to cry, and to mourn and to cry. So what's missing? They buried her eventually. Don't worry. That comes next. They buried her. Don't worry.
Yitzchak.
Where exactly is Yitzchak during this whole scene? In fact, if you look at Rabbeinu Bachaya in this first source, he writes, venerally, Yehayah katuv ra'ui sheyomar. It seems to me that the Torah should have said, Vayavo Avraham v'Yitzchak v'svod l'Sarah u'l'kota. It should have said that both Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak came to mourn for Sarah, to eulogize and mourn for. Ki bevadai ra'ui haya Yitzchak l'sfod l'imo hatzadeket ulukotole. For Yitzchak certainly should have mourned and cried for his righteous mother. Shere chiyuv bo gadol ma'od, for the obligation for his son to mourn for his mother is very great. Mimashu b'Avraham, perhaps even more so than for the father. Certain laws of Avelut later on will indicate that. Excuse me? Than his father. More so, moreover, she had an incredible love for him. She yelda oto al derech apelef, where she gave birth to him in a miraculous way. Vayta nafshak shura b'nafsho, and their souls were bound together. So the question that he's posing is a very simple and obvious question. Why did Yitzchak miss his mother's funeral? So Rabbeinu Bachaya then goes on to pose at least one possible answer. It's possible he didn't know that his mother had passed away. For the message that she had passed away was somehow wrapped up with the Akedah. They hid it from him, didn't tell it to him. And look at the text, it does not mention him at all in her death and her burial. Game eight she'enakad al gabei hamizbeach lo re'inhu. From the time that he was the victim of the Akedah, we did not see him again. Shereki shehochu Avraham Yitzchak lahar Moriah katuv b'chazara vayeshev Avraham el na'ara. It says, and Avraham returned to his servants. Vayaru'i shomar vayeshuvu el na'arim v'lo hizkir chazara Yitzchak. The Torah never does tell us about Yitzchak coming down from the mountain. In order to really appreciate Rabbeinu Bakaye's point, and he's not the only one that has noticed this, I'm sure, but he is the one who says it quite clearly. When you look at the Akedah, which is in the second source, which we saw last week, when it starts off, it tells us, Pasuk Vav, Vayikach Avraham et... No, sorry, you don't want to read from there. Actually, I would have read from Pasuk before, Vayishkem Avraham Baboker, Vayikach... And it says that he took Yitzchak, but it says that he took Shnei Na'arav, and they go together. At the end of the Akedah, in Pasuk Yud Tet, it says, Vayashav Avraham el Na'arav, Avraham returns to the servants, Vayakumu Vayaklu Yachav el Beersheva. Vayashav Avraham el Beersheva. And Avraham returns, and of course the Chumash never tells us about Yitzchak. Now this problem of not telling us about Yitzchak apparently is not an isolated problem, not just that we're not told what happens to Yitzchak afterwards. We don't find Yitzchak afterwards. We don't find Yitzchak through the whole section dealing with the death of his and burial of his mother. And we don't even find him during his courtship and dating. He's not there. Somebody else. I know many of you, perhaps, you know, were brought up and your parents, you know, arranged the marriages for you, and you too didn't meet your spouses until after your parents' servant brought him back. But the whole thing is really quite strange. I mean, Yitzchak seems to disappear for a while. You have to love what the Ibn Ezra says, because he also gets... Something bothers him a lot, and you will see in a second. Source number three, Vayashav Avraham, Avraham comes back. Below he's here Yitzchak, and it doesn't tell us that Yitzchak came back. Ki hu berushuto, because they're really together. If it says Avram came back, it means Yitzchak as well. Even though when they both went up, it doesn't say it, it does it separately. When they came back merged and joined together as one. And now they're one, they're together. But by the way, this may answer the problem in this pasuk. It does not answer the problem which is posed by Rabbeinu Bachai, the more global problem, that Yitzchak disappears completely for the next number of scenes. Unless you're going to say, when it says that Avram cried, it means Yitzchak as well. And when Avram told his Eved to go find a wife, it means Yitzchak as well. I mean, I think we all recognize it's a little difficult to say this in every single instance. Wherever it says Avram, it also means Yitzchak. And as I said, it's a little hard to be convinced by such an argument. He then continues and writes, V'ha'omer sheshachato v'azvo, and if you claim that Avraham really shechted him, I'm still in Ibn Ezra's verse 3. V'ha'omer sheshachato v'azvo, and if you're going to claim that Avraham shechted Yitzchak and left him bleeding on the, again, is that the way that you picture the end of the Akedah? Yitzchak bleeding on the Akedah, or for that matter, that he shechted him and died. And Yitzchak is dead on the Akedah. The Ibn Ezra is very perturbed by this, and he says, and then he comes back to life afterwards, Amar hafach hakatuv. He goes, you just can't say this, because the Malach tells him not to shecht him. Now, if the Ibn Ezra tells you that you can't say that he shechted him and left him there, what do you now know? That there are people that are claiming that that's what happened to Yitzchak. Why? Because you have a problem. Where is Yitzchak? Why did Yitzchak come down from the mountain? So what's his answer? His answer is no, it just means that the two of them are together. But the Ibn Ezra himself knows that he hasn't really answered the question, and therefore he's very forceful by telling us, don't say the alternative, because he doesn't like the alternative at all. The alternative he doesn't, he just can't begin to accept.
For sure.
But it's the matter? Well, what about the other possibility? That Yitzhak didn't want to go play with Avram anymore.
No, that I can
understand. Oh, that you can understand.
That I can understand. He can be whatever.
One sec, why don't you say the obvious? That Yitzhak is an abused child, right? He's a victim suffering now from post-traumatic stress. That he may have a dysfunctional relationship with his father who pulled a knife on him. Well, what's that? Why is the obvious so difficult to you? That Yitzhak, you say, why would Avram leave him? Why would Yitzhak want to go with him? What's next? We'll play darts together? I mean, this is a... Ah, so then... Oh, people on different spiritual levels, so maybe he died and came back. Yeah? No, but he's not there. He's not there anymore. Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see more. Yes. I don't know.
Is it possible that he was a Mormon? That he left us for a
time. So correct. The problem over here becomes what happens to Yitzhak. If you really want those who go most into this idea of Yitzhak dying, it's mentioned in various midrashim. I talked about this last year sometime. I don't remember when. But what I didn't tell you last time, and I'm not going to speak about now, because most of you are not old enough for this, and that it is in the writings of the Arizal. He does go into there's a book called Sefer HaGilgulim, which is a book of reincarnations. And he does claim that Avram did kill Yitzchak. When he killed Yitzchak... See, okay, one second. Let me explain to you something, which is our basic quandary, which I briefly articulated last week, and then we have to come back to this. I'm just going to say this, that you should understand the problem, and sometimes when you look at things very differently, you get very different solutions. What was the problem with the Akedah? The logic... I'm not saying the moral problem. The moral problem is separate. What's the problem? On the one hand, God says to Avraham that Yitzchak will be your progeny. But Yitzchak Yikrat Zerecha. On the other hand, what's the problem? He says to him, take him out and kill him. So you can't reconcile these two things. Of course I said it last week. Don't ever quote what I said last week this week. But let me correct it. What Yitzchak heard was that he should kill him, and therefore he has this contradiction, he has this problem. Okay? So let's start that out as our quandary. So how can you reconcile the two? And by the way, I remember the Rav Soloveitchik once wrote that he heard from his grandfather, this is a classic problem, when you have shtei tuvim, hamachishim zedzeh, when you have two verses that contradict one another, what do you do? What do you do when you have two verses that contradict one another? You wait, ad hakatuv hashlishi, shechri b'nehim. You wait for a third verse that comes and reconciles them. What's the third verse? The third verse was, put him up on the altar, take him down from the altar, enough, we're finished, and therefore not, and that's the resolution. In the mystical writings, they say no. They say the purpose of the Akedah was in order to... This is the last one. I don't know if they want to make more copies. The purpose of the Akedah, according to the Arizal, was in order to get to the point of the Yitzchak Yikrat Zerecha, that Yitzchak can now be able to have children. And they say that the type of soul that Yitzchak has, what before the Akedah was an infertile soul, and he died and he got a new soul afterwards, and this is not being reborn, this is far more than being reborn. Don't that's why I said you're not old enough. If you have questions on this, then you've just confirmed my suspicion that I should never have brought this up. And they claim that it's the Akedah which allows Yitzchak now to be somebody who can have children. By the way, part of the tension over here is what soul he does get, and that leads directly into why Sarah has to die at this point. That's all I'll say about this. Yes.
Children were being offered as sacrifices in this manner, which was an abomination to Hashem. And so he wanted to, I think,
through the lens.
Correct.
Abraham and the people to see that this is exactly not what we want.
Correct, correct. It's a very nice interpretation. Many have said that. And the purpose is, I'm going to tell you to do it, and the most important part of the case is to tell you don't do it. Okay? Although there may have been a better way of doing that, just say don't do it. And why does Yitzchak have to go through this whole experience? As far as where is Yitzchak, we have two basic approaches in Chazal, where he was. The first approach, again, Ibn Ezra just says, no, he was there all along. Being there all along does not convince us, despite the Ibn Ezra's insistence, because we don't see him. We don't see him for a while. So, for example, if you look in the Targum Yonatan in source 4, V'divru malachei meroma yad Yitzchak ba'avuluhi levei midrasha d'shem rabba v'havatamin flat shanin. A band of angels carried him away from the Akedah and took him to the Beit Midrash of Shem, and there he stayed for 3 years. So if you can't find a Jewish male, where must he be? He must be in yeshiva, right? That's the only possible explanation to where he could have been. That's why he misses his mother's funeral. That's why he doesn't have time to go out, because he is sitting in yeshiva. That's one approach. As I've told you before, as my wife likes to say, when the tough gets going, the men find religion. Right? It's time for the kids to get up in the morning. Sorry, I have to go to Shacharis. Time to put the kids to bed at night. Sorry, I gotta go Maariv. In case there's ever anything in the afternoon, it's time for Mincha. And just in case she catches me in some other time, I have to prepare a shir now. So there really would be never any time to do anything else. So therefore, it's a simple explanation. Yitzchak now finds religion, and it's time for him to go to yeshiva. Don't ask me what he studied in yeshiva. I would assume he studied Sheva Mitzvah Pnei Noach, one of them not to murder, not to pull knives on people. And that's what he does, and he sits. And that's what he does for the next couple of years. And that's the explanation where Yitzchak went. This we find in Midrash Rav in Source 5 as well. So already the Midrash feels it. Where was Yitzchak? What happened to Yitzchak? So the quotes, Shalchu Eitzel Shem Lilmod Mimenu Torah. He went to the yeshiva of Shem to learn Torah. The Netziv in source number 6 tries to convince us why at this point he may want to learn Torah. Hashem, at the end of the Akedah, God says to Avram, because you listen to my voice, hitbonen kikach ratzon Hashem lasot b'dvarei Torah. Because Avram listened to the voice of God, therefore God rewarded him. Yitzchak says, I also need to listen to the voice of God, and therefore I need to go to yeshiva. So again, if you find this very convincing, so this is one whole approach which we do find in the sources. In Midrash HaGadol, which is source 7, we find a couple of things. First of all, let me remind you that when it comes to Jewish liturgy, especially Rosh Hashanah, or certainly in the Slichot, in the Kinot as well, we always deal with Yitzchak as having been killed. We take the Akedah and say, God, remember the Schut of the Akedah. And we talk about the Afarosh Shel Yitzchak, right? That we talked about. We talked about the ashes of Yitzchak. There's only, of course, one problem. Our reading of the Akedah is there are no ashes. He didn't kill him. He's not a burnt offering. There are no ashes. Nonetheless, Afarosh Yitzchak, the ashes of Yitzchak become a theme. They were found all over Midrashim, all over Chazal. The explanation for it is because Avraham was willing to do it, God looks at it as if he was actually killed. So in the Midrash HaGadol, they're so convinced that this is the correct approach, that the main thing of the Akedah was Avraham's preparation or preparedness to kill Yitzchak. Therefore, it's as if Yitzchak is dead. And because it's as if he killed him, because he was ready to kill him. So listen to the words in Midrash HaGadol, source 7. Yitzchak Heichman, who, where is Yitzchak? Amr Lez ben Pedat, Afapi Shalomet Yitzchak, Ma'aleh HaKatuv Ki'ilumet. Even though he's not dead, the Torah deliberately wrote it in a way that you would think that he's dead. Now you realize why the Ibn Ezra gets upset. He goes, the Torah wrote it this way on purpose. Avram brings him up, he puts him on his bed, Avram comes back, and why no mention of Yitzchak? Of course, the Torah had to leave it that way, as if Yitzchak really had died, even though we know that it didn't. Ki ilumet va'afran mutal al gabi hamizbeach, v'yashav Avram al-Narav, and the ashes of Yitzchak are still sitting on the altar. And that's the way that Midrash says, you're worried where Yitzchak is? Of course Yitzchak is alive. Why is the Torah wanted the Torah to write it this way to show that from God's perspective, it's as if Yitzchak was really killed. He then gives a second interpretation, which is really a couple of lines later in the Drash Gadol, Yitzchak Hechanu. Where is Yitzchak? Ela shehichnisu HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'gan Eden. V'yeshev Shem Ba'ashalosh Shanim. It wasn't that he went to yeshiva for 3 years, rather now we're told that instead he was hanging out in Gan Eden for 3 years. So either way, we have then two different choices for the disappearance of Yitzchak. Again, you can choose which one of these you like better. One is that he is hiding out in Gan Eden, and the other is that he went to yeshiva. I assume both of them have a common denominator, and that is they're both supposedly religious experiences, somewhat different from your everyday shepherding or whatever else it was that Yitzchak would have done, and instead he goes someplace else. The Chizkuni, source 8, succinctly gives us both opinions. Vayeshev Avram el Marav, Yitzchak Hechanu, Ela Nitnan began Eden Shalosh Shanim, Davar Acha, Halach Lo Lebeit Eivir. It's not Shem, Shem Ve'Eivir, Beit Eivir L'mol Torah. Either he went to Yeshiva, he went to Gan Eden. That's our explanation for where Yitzchak is. And of course, I hope you realize that none of this is pshat. Right? So if we want to at least get to something which is near pshat, then we have to look in the Chumash. Yes?
I have a problem with the idea that Hashem would want to think of
Hashem would want him to kill him, but Hashem sees the value of Avram listening to God's command, that he was ready to do anything to listen to God's command, so therefore he wouldn't want him to kill him, but he accepts Avraham's preparedness to do it, and therefore it's as if he did it. Machshava kema'aseh. Yes. But let's get to the simple point. Where was Yitzchak? For real, where was he? So let's go to next time we see Yitzchak. We have many, many, many verses of, we have this whole thing about Sarah's death, the negotiations, no Yitzchak. We then have Avraham calling in his Eved. What's the Eved's name? Eliezer. And of course, you know, it never says Eliezer once in this whole chapter. Right? His name is Eved, right? Eved Avraham. In other places, it says that Avram has somebody named Eliezer, so therefore, once again, we have the law of conservation of characters, which Chazal always used, so therefore, once his Eved is Eliezer, this must also be Eliezer, as I said, even though it never says it over here. He has this, calls in the Eved, he says, please go and find a wife for my son, and Eliezer goes, and travels, and the whole story there is interesting. At the very end of the story, when Rivka is now returning together with the Eved, we turn to source number 9. Perek Kaf Dalet Pasuk Samach Bet. And again, I want to stress that those of you who are very frustrated with the lack of English on the sources over here, if you need a Tanakh in English, please bring the Tanakh in English. Yes, I'll make fun of it, whatever English translations you have, but you're still better off with that English translation than with no English translation. Okay? B'Yitzchak Ba Nibo Be'er L'chai Ro'i V'hu Yoshev Be'eretz HaNegev. Now, of course, you recognize that there is almost an impossible pasuk, and I wish you did have your English, that we could make fun of the translation now. But what does that mean? V'Yitzchak Ba Nibo Be'er L'chai Ro'i V'hu Yoshev Be'eretz HaNegev. Yitzchak came from coming to Be'er L'chai Ro'i, and V'hu Yoshev, and he settles in the land of the Negev. So where was Yitzchak? Where was Yitzchak? He was coming from the Eretz L'chayri. So therefore, Yitzchak's disappearance, we can now, if we need to track him down, Yitzchak's disappearance now could be, if we'll get our forensic scientists or.
That would be
Yeshiva. Who is Yeshiva? What are you talking about? One second. What? What?
Isn't that where
Hagar? Yeah. Let's take a look where he really is. What's the matter? I said, you have a problem over here with this verse. The Yitzchak ba mibo ve'er l'chayro'i. No, he's coming from coming there.
He's coming from coming there.
The Yitzchak ba mibo ve'er l'chayro'i. Who Yoshev the Eretz Negev? So where does he live? He lives down south. He lives down south. What is it? How does it translate it? Okay. If that's clear. Vayetze Yitzchak v'suach v'sadeh l'pnot arev. And he goes out, and this is where we learn that he went out to daven mincha. Vayisav einav vayar v'negem alim ba'im. He lifts up his eyes and he sees the camels coming. Batisa Rivka etinehan. She lifts up her eyes. Batirat Yitzchak. She sees Yitzchak. But he pulled me al hagamal, which itself is very interesting. Either it means she fell off of the camel. What?
She swept
off her feet. Love at first sight. Or she propelled herself off of the camel. It could be that she did a backflip and. But no, the commentaries go either way on this. Either she fell, or she propelled herself off of the. There's all kinds of things. But why she falls? She fell for him. Okay, let's just leave it at that. She fell. She falls. But Tomer el ha'eved mi ha'ish halazeh ha'olech b'sadeh l'krateinu v'yam ha'eved hu adoni v'tikachat z'ifet tikas. V'yisaper ha'eved b'yitzchak et kol dvrim asher asah v'yivei Yitzchak o'ala sara imo v'yikachat rivka v'tilo v'isha v'yaveh v'yinachin Yitzchak acharei imo. Here we finally find Yitzchak mourning for his mother. He takes her into the tent, takes an attempt at, and then Yitzchak loves her and he's comforted after the death of his mother. So finally, Baruch Hashem, Yitzchak got to mourn. It's important to get to mourn, but this whole section is somewhat confusing. It's comforted. It's comforted means that there were issues.
That means that he wasn't mourning.
Right, they're comforted. Yes.
To the fact that he was there, that Hagar was sent with Ishmael, is there a kind of feeling of identity that he has that he now has also gone through?
Very good. Very, very, very good. No. does the Midrash feel that? No. But you feel that, and I feel that.
Oh.
But Midrash completely ignores it. If you want to start seeing the beginning of an acknowledgement of the situation or the fact of the significance to where they went to, look at source number 10. Look at Rashi. Mavo be'er l'chayroi shahalach lehvi hagar la'avraham aviv she'asena. He goes to bring Hagar back for his father, that his father can marry Hagar. Now this is very interesting, which means his elderly father, who is too old, and that's when we're told that Avram is old. Right at the beginning of the chapter, we're told Avram is too old, and therefore he calls his servant, and he says to his servant, you need to go and find a wife for my son Yitzchak. Apparently, if Avram wasn't so old, he would have gone and done it himself. So Avram is concerned with finding a wife for Yitzchak, but Yitzchak is concerned with finding a wife for his father. So theory of conservation of character is only one. That over here we see something which is very tender. We see, you know, again, Vayechu Shneim Yachtav. Each one is concerned about the other one, and each one is actually concerned, in a sense, that don't get Freudian on me now, each one is concerned about the death of Sarah. And Abraham now is without a companion, so therefore Yitzchak goes to take care of that. Yitzchak is without, shall we say, a feminine influence of his life, and therefore it says over here that now he's comforted for his mother, but perhaps, and Rav Hirsch points this out, that this is very similar to what either Adam or God says in the very beginning, where the first time that that Adam and Eve meet, Al Kenya Azov Ishet Aviv Et Imo, that a man should leave his mother and father and cling to his spouse. Therefore, this over here, Yitzchak's feeling this connection with his wife and, you know, being comfort for his mother, so now he has left his mother and father, and now he has found the one that he will be comforted with. But again, it's not that his wife is taking his mother's place as such, but rather there is something which is now lacking in his life. So as I said, each one is concerned about the other, and therefore we understand where Yitzchak is. It's also very funny that this doesn't explain everything, does it? Right? It doesn't explain everything. Our larger problem, where Yitzchak has been the whole time, because it's just now. Okay, according to Yitzchak, we now see clearly. He knows his mother has died. He just wasn't there the whole time. He was someplace else. So again, you want to say he was in yeshiva? Fine. But where has Yitzchak been? So we're told now that Yitzchak is involved in finding a wife. But of course, what Rashi is noticing over here, which you're correct, is that this place that we're speaking about is the place where when Hagar ran away, where she ended up to. In fact, this place, Be'er L'chai Ro'i, is the place that she names Be'er L'chai Ro'i, this well where God or the angel has appeared to her. And if we'll just go along the lines that you suggested a little bit further, there is definitely a type of parallel between the Yishmael experience and between the Yitzchak experience. Bless you. And I told you last week I was not going to get into that. I still won't get into that. But there's two episodes where Hagar leaves. One episode is when she's pregnant, and a second episode is when Yishmael is already born. When she's sent away the first time is when she gets to this place, Be'er L'chai Ro'i. The tension over there was one of what was really Hagar's status. What is her status as a wife to Abraham, or was her status as a shifcha to Abraham? That, or more of a concubine, or a pilegish. What? But eventually, what is she? Is she a wife, or is she a shifcha? It says both. It says both. That's the problem. It says both. There's this contradictory evidence about it. Quickly, if I have the verse over here. Shifcha. It's in Perek. Perek Tet Zayin. V'sarai eshet Avram lo yoda lo v'la shivcha mitzrit v'shma Hagar. The relationship is introduced right away that Sarah has a shivcha. She has a servant. But Tomer Sarai el Avraham, right? Rebana el shivchati. Have relations with my shivcha. The relationship is very clear. This is not a new wife. This is a surrogate mother. Batikach Sarai Eshet Avram et Hagar HaMitzrit Shivchata. See how clear that is? Sarai took Hagar HaMitzrit Shivchata, her servant. Batitain Otala Avraham Isha. She gave it to her husband, Avraham, Lola Isha, as a wife. So now what is her status? Is her status one of Shivcha, or is it one of a wife? Hagar sees herself as being a wife. Once she gets pregnant, she begins to look down upon Sarah. Rashi here quotes, her reasoning for this is, she says, Sarah is not what you think she is, because look how many years she was with Abraham and she suffered from infertility. I was with Abraham one night and I became pregnant. Obviously, this pregnancy proves, I guess fertility is the proof that she really was meant to be with Abraham, and therefore she says, look, obviously, Sarah is not the real wife. I should be. It's at that point that Sarah says, get her out of here. And Avram says, "Hinei shipchatech, take your servant and do what you want." When the malach speaks to her, which by a place that we will soon learn is Be'er Lachai Ro'i, he says, "Vayomer Hagar shipchat Sarai." That's how he introduces her. He goes, "Sarai." He goes, "Hagar, the servant of Sarai. What's the matter?" And that's how he addresses her all the time in order to make this point perfectly clear. This is who you are. Okay, you are the servant of Avram. It's at this point that she's sent away, and she's told, "Go back and be subservient to Sarai." That's what your task, that's what your role is supposed to be. She's told that she will give birth, she will be wild, and so on and so forth. But we are told in Perek Tzayin Pasuk Yudalid, Pasuk Yud Gimel, "Vatikra Shem Hashem Hadavar Eleha Ata Kel Roi." You were the God who has appeared to me. "Ki Amra Hagam Halom Reiti Acharei Roi." This is Be'er Lachai Ro'i. This is the place that the angel speaks to Hagar. The fact that Yitzchak is now going to Be'er Lachai Ro'i of all places is to us very interesting. The commentaries on this have a couple of things to say. Let's look at the Ramban in Source 11, because Ramban has two things. The Ramban insists in 11 that Yitzchak didn't live there. As some of you started to tell me before, yes, he didn't live there. Where did he live? He lived in the Negev. She'ilu amar ba'mi be'er l'chai ro'i hayanira shayadar sham v'lekach hutzrach l'faresh ki hu shav li'iro mibiyoto shaba el be'er l'chai ro'i l'fi sha'a ki yoshe be'er to Negev v'chazor li'iro. Doesn't mean that he lives by Be'er l'chai ro'i, he lives in the Negev, but he, it sounds when it says ba'mi bo, it sounds like it's a place that he frequents, a place that he goes to quite often. This is a place that Yitzchak goes to visit. The Ramban writes this in the next line, "V'yitachein ba'avur hayot mibo makor shaha Yitzchak holech tamid el hamakom ahu ki hu makom tfila ba'avur haraot sham hamalach v'hu yeshev eretz negev karov v'sham." This is Yitzchak's spiritual place. This is a place that had a revelation. This is a place that God revealed himself, or the angel revealed himself to Hagar, and therefore it's the it's the closest, you know, like today you have Kivrei Tzadikim all over. It's the closest place that you can use as some kind of a religious place, although maybe, I don't know how comfortable this leaves you, knowing that he picks this place that Hagar had her revelation. I mean, if you would have said, Yitzchak, pick a place, maybe you would have liked maybe you would have liked the Akedah a little bit, the little better, or Har HaMoriah, although I think some of you can recognize that he may be somewhat conflicted about the Har HaMoriah. Okay, very nice. Hashem even listens to Ishmael by this place, or to Hagar in the first instance, by this place, and therefore it becomes a good place. Although I do want to point one more thing out about choosing this particular place. When you hear that he goes to a Be'er, what does that tell you? A Be'er's Torah. What else does it, what else? Come on, easier on a much simpler level.
Spends his life dealing with wells.
Well, that's also true. But what do you know about wells or Be'ers in that we see time and again? It's a good place for what? It's a good place to meet girls. Right. It's a good, like you go to bars, right? Be'ers to pick people. People get picked up by Be'ers. This happens constantly. Although over here, what's ironic is that the Eved Avraham is going to go meet Rivka out over there by a Be'er, but at the same time Yitzchak is by a Be'er and he's davening. So what's Yitzchak davening for? So of course you will find now Mefarshim who will fill in the blanks, he's davening for a Shidduch. Right? He knows that this Eved is going to look for a Shidduch for him, so he goes to a Be'er, which is the place where spiritual powers of Shidduchim apparently flow, and therefore he is davening. By the way, you can make a lot of money, you just have to open up a Be'er now. Locate Be'er, right?
But wells are very important.
Wells are still important.
And Avram even said the whole thing with the Lord and Abimelech, whatever it was, the king, that's where he gave him a well. And
correct.
There's a lot of that in common.
correct. No, all that is certainly correct, but you realize now that a number of the commentaries will point out that he is going to go daven by a place that that has been answered. 17, for example, the Sforno writes, "Vami ba'oba er l'chayro ilehit palel b'makom shebo nishma'at filat shifkato." Very, very close to what you said. He's going to go daven by this place that his servant, or really his mother's servant, was answered. The kodem shitpalel par nishlam in yano b'charon b'kirva ishto lavo aderech teremi karenu v'ani'ene. And even before he finished praying, she appears. But, you know, instant prayers, instant gratification. He davens, and she's on the way already. Immediately, Eliezer, or the Eved Avraham. Well, Yitzchak is pretty good when it comes to davening, including later on for his wife. By the way, I did skip one thing in the Ramban, in source 11, in that lower paragraph, he suggests that maybe Be'er L'chayro'i has a different connotation completely. And you'll recognize what bothers the Ramban. What does he say it is? It's really the place that Avraham had his tent opened, and that's what Be'er L'chayro'i is. Of course, there's only one problem with this. That's not described as a Be'er. Some of the commentaries want to play that it means he comes from around Be'er L'chayro'i. It's not actually Be'er L'chayro'i, it's the same area, and therefore if it's near it but not it, so maybe it's really the Eshel Avraham. But that doesn't really help us that much, because the Chumash over here stresses that where Yitzchak is coming from is the area of Be'er L'chayro'i, and as the Ramban himself suggested initially, he frequents this place. He comes from coming over there. He lives in the Negev, but he lives near this place, and this is the place that he constantly goes to. Yes?
Well, I keep thinking about what was his relationship with the God when he was a little kid. And we know, obviously, he still has a relationship with his big brother Ishmael, because they're burying his father together. So isn't it possible that he's going there to be with his family when his mother has died? Who's his other mother? So he's the only one temporarily who he can go.
Of course, that's possible. And again, I agree with you that this sounds like a more likely scenario of what Avraham is doing. Then again, Yitzchak is not a little kid at this point. He nonetheless feels this need to go to Be'er L'chayro'i, and this is not the only time that he goes there. So let's hold off on this for a second. If this was the only time he went there, then we have to figure out what this one-time thing is. And then maybe we can be convinced that the one-time traveling down to Be'er L'chayro'i was in order to find Hagar and bring her back and so on. It's not the only time that he goes there. In fact, you'll see something interesting about the place in a moment. There are a couple of sources that talk about Be'er L'chayro'i, or not even that, that what Yitzchak is doing connects back to the other interpretations we saw. Look at source 13 in the Yalkut Shimoni. It focuses on the word Vayetze, right? He goes out to the field. Vayetze Yitzchak Lesuach Basadeh. Meheichan Yatza, where did he come out from? What's the obvious answer going to be? Migan Eden. Why? Because that's the last time we saw him, was Gan Eden. And you're going to say, hold it a second. The whole Gan Eden thing was trying to figure out where he was in the interim, but they go right back to this. He's really coming out, and that's the point that they meet. In Sefer Asara Ma'amarot, from Rav Yitzchak Isaac Tufano, the Yitzchak is going to be Gan Eden, and we bait Midrash El Shoshem. And he says, "Uva'otu sha'ar Rami anafshi takein tefilat hamincha l'chaper yitziyato migan Eden." Why is he davening? He's davening because he just left Gan Eden. I don't know what prayer you say when you leave Gan Eden, but he goes into this whole explanation of what Yitzchak was trying to do. Now, as I said, had this been Yitzchak's only visitation there, I would be more inclined to accept this. You look at source 22, this is in the Chumash Perakapeh. Vayosef Avram v'yikach isha ushma keturah. And Avram took another wife, this is described that her name is Keturah. And then it goes through a whole list of the children and so on. It also talks about Avram having children of Piglat Shim, and so on, and Avram gets his affairs in order, and then Avram passes away in Pasuk Zion, Pasuk Tet. Pasuk Tet is the Pasuk that Charlotte mentioned earlier. Viru oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav el marat ha-machpelah el stei Efron b'mtzachar chiti ha-shapnei mamrei. Here is the only time that we see unity between Yitzchak and Yishmael. Not only that, we see Yishmael mentioned, but Yitzchak being mentioned primary. But it says the two of them together bury Avram. This indicates that there is some kind of reconciliation between Yitzchak and Yishmael. And if you followed the shot of the Chumash, the last time we saw Yishmael was when Avraham, based upon Sarah's instructions and God telling him to listen to Sarah's instructions, chases Yishmael and Hagar away, and they go down to the south, they go down towards the desert, they go down to the area of Be'er Lahai Ro'i. That's the last time that we see them. Nonetheless, somehow Yishmael makes it back for the funeral, and not only that, we find reconciliation, but I think all of us now can already guess. Yitzchak we found at least on one occasion going there, but look at the end of this discussion, Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yihi acharei mot Avraham v'yavarech Elokim et Yitzchak b'no v'yeshev Yitzchak im Be'er Lahai Ro'i. The Yitzchak chooses Be'er Lahai Ro'i as the place that he's going to live, which means this suspicion that some of you may have had that Yitzchak is interested in somehow healing the rift between Yishmael and Hagar, I think it becomes very clear from the Psukim, because of all places to live, because if I would have asked you, hey, guess where Yitzchak would live, you would have told me places like perhaps Hebron, perhaps Beersheba, perhaps this elusive Eshel Avraham, but the place that he chooses to go is the place which is identified with Hagar and with Yishmael. This is where he goes. And then when we find that Yishmael actually and Yitzchak are working together, then I think that the credit for this has to be given to Yitzchak. Which means, you know, if I were to look at Yitzchak in a very contemporary way, which is completely unfair, then I could speak about Yitzchak, the victim of post-traumatic stress and so on, and therefore he needs, after his therapy, he needs in order to go and to heal and so on, needs a little vacation, and therefore we don't see him. And you can continue speaking like this. Yitzchak, and I can also then speak about Yitzchak, the victimized Yitzchak, who feels now perhaps more of a relationship with the victimized Yishmael, or let us put all the survivors of Avraham's cruelty together. Hagar, who was sent away, and Yishmael, who was sent away, and Yitzchak, who was almost slaughtered. But I'm saying, I don't think that that's the way to read it. I don't think that's the way to read it at all, because the relationship between Avraham and Yitzchak, we don't have any reason to doubt that relationship. Over here, the opposite is true, is that Yitzchak is the one together with Yishmael who goes and they take care of him, and so on. Yitzchak seemed to have made a decision after the Akedah, and this decision was to take responsibility himself for this family which has somewhat fallen apart. And by the way, I think it's also interesting specifically with the death of Sarah, that it could be that as long as Sarah was alive, he was not able to reach out to Yishmael. As long as Sarah was alive, he could not reach out to Hagar. His mother had made the request that she did not want Yishmael around to be a bad influence on Yitzchak. And how did that make Yitzchak feel? That means he's the reason that this family gets broken up. He's the reason that Yishmael gets sent away. So feeling this, he then reaches out and says, no, Yishmael, you need to come back. Now, and Hagar, as we saw from Rashi, has to come back. And therefore, as far as Rashi is concerned, we go back to our theory of conservation of people, and Keturah becomes Hagar, and this is Abraham's other wife, and all that comes together. And as I said, it's not an accident that Yitzchak then chooses his place to live within the place that Hagar and Yishmael identify with. And I think that we perhaps now have a slightly different understanding of Yitzchak, even though I admit to whoever said this initially that we know very little about Yitzchak. But now I think that just these little hints about where he chose to live and where he traveled and where he prayed tells us a lot about Yitzchak. Yeah. We're not sure. It sounds more that it's where Avraham is. That's what it sounds like more. It's more, it's the tent of Sarah, and it's really closer to where Avram lives. But it's not clear. It's not clear. And in fact, the other way around, it's after Avram dies, then Yitzchak goes to Be'er Lahai Ro'i. That means while Avram's still alive, he only goes and he travels there. He keeps going back and forth. But once Avram is dead, apparently, once Avram is dead, then Yitzchak can now go completely to Be'er Lahai Ro'i. So it's only Avram's being alive still that keeps him from going there on a permanent basis. Why?
Would that be? Why not? If he gets along with Abram and Hagar and Ishmael.
But he chooses to live with Abram. He chooses to live with Abram as long as Abram is alive. And it's only now that he'll move away and go to where and go back to where Ishmael is. Yeah.
Two of her six children.
Yeah.
I'm not involved at all with the poor, and they're not really brought forth afterwards. But then she
can. Right. Let's leave them. Yes.
Correct.
Correct. But who's the one who facilitates that? So it sounds very much like Yitzhak is this one who's going around and trying to bring the family back together again. And as I said, his birth is, again, from his perception, what breaks the family up. He now sees it as his job to bring the family together. All of this, I think, can shed light on the other difficult relationship that Yitzhak has. Yes. Yeah, this connection between the prayer of Yishmael and Yitzchak needs to be explored. There are parallels between their prayers. Leave their prayers aside so we have a chance of getting to what I wanted to. Obviously, the other relationship which I'm speaking about is the relationship we don't understand. And that's the relationship between Yitzchak and Esav. Let's just put it this way. If you have two kids, and one is an Esav and one is a Yaakov, especially if half of what Chazal says is true, then why would you, Yitzchak, favor Esav? Or forget a favoring. Why would he even tolerate a person like Esav? And excuse me? Esav, I'm asking. Why would he even tolerate someone like Esav, but by even asking the question, so you realize the answer? The answer is that he knows what it's like to have a favorite son and a not favorite son, and he feels, I don't want to get into just simply terms of guilt, he feels that it's not appropriate just to send away the one who is not as successful. He will do what he can in order to bring Esav toward him, and it could even be a little bit more than it could even be that he sees Esav in a slightly different way, but I think that the relationship between Yishmael and Yitzchak definitely impacts the relationship between Yitzchak and Esav. Yes.
So maybe Yitzhak, knowing this also, realized that if he didn't bring Ishmael back to God, that he might basically
live with an enemy. So that's interesting. If you want to make Yitzhak purely pragmatic, I'll see if I have time to get back to that. In the source 24, let's start with that. The Kli Yakar speaks about Keturah coming back. Yosef Avram Yikach Yishav Ushma Keturah Chazar V'Nasat Hagar V'Kara Keturah Al Shem Shemaseh Na'im Ki Ketoret. Ketoret is incense. That her actions are as wonderful as incense. V'Chein Mashma Lashon V'Yosef Shenasah Sheni. He married her a second time. It then goes on to say that according to Rashi, that the problem was that there was all kinds of... That when she left Abraham, she went back to the idolatry of her father. That's where it's underlined in the next line. But Pelech Batitan Shechazra L'Gilulei Beit Aviyah. She went back to the idols of her father. So if that's the case, then why would Yitzchak bring her back? So then where it's underlined in the bottom, and came Me'acha Shagarsha Machmat Ervat Davar Shel Avodat Gililim. When she was sent away because of her affinity for idolatry, Kasha Eich Chazar V'Dacha. How could he? Why would he take her back? Al kein balatarit v'lomesha asta tshuva, that she did tshuva kemo Yishmael bena, shasa gam kein tshuva, that the two of them did tshuva, ukidei lefarsem zekara Abraham shema keturah. Al shem haketoret ki pirsem v'kol sha'asta tshuva, v'kol bal tshuva na'asim lo hazdanot ki zechuyot, v'hazdanot olim l'reach nichoach kemo hazechuyot, al kein himshila v'ketoret,
Shachelbana Sharei Chora Olele Reach Nikoach Kekol Shar Habisamim.
In simpler words, it says that the name Ketoret indicates for having done tshuva. One of the interesting metaphors that he pointed out here was the metaphor of the incense, where the incense, as we know, was made out, it had a beautiful smell, but was made out of many things, including a bad smell. But when you have a good smell masking the bad smell, that is the idea of the incense, and therefore that is part of the tshuva itself, where the good deeds at this point come and mask over the bad deeds from the past, and that's why she's called Keturah, and this is the Hagar. So he's giving you a philosophical explanation to why Hagar and Keturah are one. In the next source, in 25, the Be'er Ma'im Chaim has a very interesting observation about Esav, because about Yishmael. Because why is Yishmael sent away? He sent away because he laughs, and he laughs, and the laughing Chazal tells have connotations of all kinds of terrible sins. So why would Yitzchak? Excuse me. Why would Yitzchak then try to fix this up? So it's interesting. That's true, but part of the problem is what Rashi says. When it describes where he is, it says, "Vayihi robot keshet sheya milistim habriot," that even when he goes away, he uses this whole description of the bow and arrow, and says that he was going and he was robbing people. That's what Yishmael does. He robs people. Mikom makom avodazar lo avad, vaya elokim imo lo elokim acherim. So the Be'er Ma'im Chaim makes two suggestions over here, and I want to stay with the first one a second because I find this very interesting. He says the following: we know that Yishmael was sent away because he was a bad influence. We know that Yishmael was sent away because Sarah does not want him there. It's not simply an issue of inheritance, it's more than inheritance, at least according to Rashi, where he is guilty of all kinds of other sins as well. Now, if this is the case, why would Yitzchak bring him back, especially when we're told that he ends up becoming a robber? So what does the Be'er Ma'im Chaim tell us? Yes, he's a robber, but he became a monotheistic robber. Is that at this point he has abandoned his idolatry? And no, what's most fascinating about this is that that's enough for Yitzchak. That Yitzchak is not going to use Yishmael's limitations as an excuse of keeping him away. You believe in one God, but you're a creep. Okay, it's okay. I can still have you around. You're robbing people, I can still have you around. It's okay. But I'm saying that makes it all the more surprising, but perhaps that gives us, again, a little bit more insight in terms of the relationship that he then will have with his son Esav. Let's read the pasuk from next week's parsha, because it's one of these verses that jumps out at you. In Parshat Toldot, Perek Kafei, Pasuk Kaf Zayin, Vayigadlu ne'arim vayi Esav ish yodei etzayid ish sadeh v'Yakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. So that sets up the difference between the two. Esav is a man of hunting, a man of the field, and Yaakov is a simple man, a man of the tents. V'yahav Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayid b'piv. Yitzchak loved Esav. It says, why kitzayid b'piv? What does kitzayid b'piv mean? So there's two interpretations, either because he was cunning with his words and he misled him, or it means because he provided him with food, which sounds like the pshat. Rivka ohevet et Yaakov, and Rivka loved Yaakov. So first of all, this is a very clear indication of a very dysfunctional family, where the father, it says, loves one son, and the mother loves the other son, but there's something else in this verse which should be quite obvious. And what's that? When it talks about the love of Rivka for Yaakov, how is it described?
Yitzchak had a reason.
Right.
Yitzchak had a reason for his love, and Rivka had a
reason. Right. So normally, when it talks about a parent's love for a child, it says, why do you love your kid? I love my kid because he brings me food. No, I love my kid because he's my kid. So I won't even ask you. But I've given up. The kept asking to get the right answer. The But it's fascinating because we're told Yitzchak loves Esav Kitzai Defiv. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like he's looking for a reason to love him. He's looking for a reason to love him. He's going, okay, here I have a kid who's a loser, now what do I do? Let me find there must be something good about him, and now let me try to build him up based upon that. Which means, instead of saying Yitzchak, had it said, Yitzchak loved Esav and Rivka loved Yaakov, so now I realize, okay, that happens sometimes. That's not what it says. Yitzchak looks for a reason to love him, and it sounds very much that this is like the relationship that had taken place before, but now we realize that Yitzchak is this person who tries to fix these other relationships. He is not going to let go of this relationship so quick, even with somebody like Esav. But if we want a deeper understanding about why Yitzchak sees things in this way, let's go back to one more thing that we're told.
Yeah, we look at it the other way, that Yitzchak was Esav, was secret.
That he fooled himself.
Look at him.
That he fooled him so much.
That he fooled him so much.
The problem with that is, nonetheless, it says Yitzchak loved him, and it says for a reason. That's strange. That's strange.
They get
it. I know, that's the problem. But when it comes to Yaakov, no reason is given. It should have said Yitzchak loved him. It doesn't say that. When he summons in Esav to bring him food and to give him a bracha, in source 35, it says the Yarach, he smells the smell upon his clothing, and it says, and Yitzchak smells this and finds this wonderful and beautiful, and Rashi is somewhat bothered by this. Rashi is quoted in the Midrash, and it says, Vayarach balo ein reach ra yoter mishetach izim, right? Dead goats do not smell good. This is true. Even cooked dead goat doesn't smell good. Even live goats don't smell good. He goes, what is Yitzchak doing taking in this beautiful aroma of goat? He goes, Ela milameid shenichnasa imo reach gan eden. That when he came into the room, what Yitzchak was trying to smell, what Yitzchak identified was the reach gan eden. And that, by the way, takes us back to this issue of being by gan eden. The person who spells this out is in source 27, a sefer called Yismach Moshe. If you look at the end of the second line, Ach Rashi Piresh de Nichnas Imo Reach Gan Eden, Dine Yitzchak Haya Makir Bahareach Ahu. Yitzchak knew the Reach of Gan Eden. Let me explain to you what I think all of this really means and what it's telling us. When Yitzchak is about to give the bracha to Esav, the Torah starts off and tells us, oh, by the way, Yitzchak happens to have been blind. Right? It says that he was blind. Vatichena, right? He lost his sight. Source 29, Rashi explains two interpretations. One, Ishnan shel Elo, from the smoke. Davar acha kishne ekad al gabe hamizbeach. Vaya aviv rotze l'shachato. That Yitzchak's inability to see, according to Rashi, is directly related to the experience that he has by the Akedah. Okay, let's again follow what is going on here. Yitzchak can't see why, because something happened by the Akedah. What happens by the Akedah? So, in the beautiful words of the Midrash, the angels drip. Their tears drip in his eyes, but that blinds him. According to a variation of that midrash, it says that at that point he actually looked at the Shekhinah, and seeing the Shekhinah allowed him not to be able to see anymore. Right? That's why when you say Shema, you cover your eyes, because there's Shekhinah when you say the Shema. There are other times, Birchat Kohanim, one covers their eyes when he's looking at Birchat Kohanim, and all these times where there is an approach to the Shekhinah, we need to see, to approach the Shekhinah, but with a little bit of reticence. We have to be a little bit more careful about the Shekhinah. But Yitzchak, on the other hand, he sees the Shekhinah, But what doesn't he see? He doesn't see Esav. Which means he doesn't see Esav. But why? Because he has the perspective of the Shekhinah. His inability to see now is directly related to what happens by the Akedah. And again, later on we have the same kind of theme, albeit with a different metaphor being used, that when he comes in, he's sensing the sense of Gan Eden. Of course, how does he know Gan Eden? Because he used to hang out in Gan Eden. This is where he spent a number of times, a number of years. What is all this leading us towards? Well, it wasn't really Esav. He thought it was, and that's exactly what he was looking for. But there is one thing about Yitzchak that needs to be stressed. Look, as far as him being fooled by Esav, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in source 40, there's a great description in the Shem Yishmoel. He says, "The Kamosha Amar Harav Hakadosh Haribunim Zechut Tzadik." So on and so forth. Al tichvu she'esav hayanireh ki, how do you pronounce that? Ikar. Is a ikar, the gusham, that he looked like a simple farmer. Ela hayu lavush levanim v'amar tarah v'shalosh se'utot. He says, Esav himself was a very elevated individual. What bothers him is why Yitzchak was fooled. I'm not going to go into the whole description over here, because he claims that even in heaven, the angels will be fooled by Esav, which is a very strange thing, because how can anybody be fooled in heaven by an Esav? But leave that for a second. At the end, he quotes the Zohar, which is in source 41. But let's read the Zohar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Tachazi Shekachu. Rabbi Yehuda says, take a look, this is the way it is. Tichtiv Melech Asur Baratim, Bekativ Atrei Mayafitum Anna'ama. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ba'oto Zman, Atira Kadosh Baruch Hu, L'smoach Olamo, L'smoach Reviotav. The time will come in the future, of course this is the Messianic time, that God will rejoice and God will rejoice with all of His creation. Shenema Yismach Hashem B'ma'asav. V'azai Yeschok Ba'olam, at that point there will be real laughter in the world. Masha'ein Achshav, unlike now. As it says, as Yimalei Sukkot Pinu, as it says, then our mouths will be completely filled with laughter. Hahu Dichtiv, and that's what it means by the verse, Batamar Sarah Sukkot Asali Elokim. Hold it. Everything was clear now till we got to this point of Sarah and Sukkot Asali Elokim. What did that have to do with it? What was the whole teaching till now? The whole teaching was of the Messianic age. The Messianic age will be an age when there's no more pain, when there's no more war, when there's no more starvation, when there's no more disease. Rather, laughter, joy will break out all over the world. So it quotes a couple of verses that make sense. Az Yimalei Tzchokinu. Then we will be completely, completely taken over by this laughter. And that's what it means that Sarah named her son, what's his name? Yitzchak. And what tense is Yitzchak? The future. The future. That is what the Zohar is telling us. That Yitzchak's perspective is one of the future. Yitzchak's perspective is not from this world. Yitzchak's perspective is a future perspective on the world. What does it mean, a future perspective? Yitzchak sees things in their in the ideal form. Yitzchak sees things in their perfect way. And if you are able to see, I'm not going to tell you that this may be a healthy way to see the world, but Yitzchak's experience of sitting on top of the Akedah and having a revelation on top caused him to come down to see the world in a completely different way, and that's what it means that he goes to Gan Eden. What does it mean he goes to Gan Eden? He sees the world as if somebody wanders out of Gan Eden and comes back to this world. He doesn't see the world the same way that he did before. Is it that he's naive, that he sees less than us, or is that he sees a lot more than us? So that I'm not going to answer, but he certainly sees things differently than us. That ability is what gave him this courage to go back over to a person like Yishmael, because he says a person like Yishmael, of course, is somebody who can do tshuva and will do tshuva, and somebody who can recognize as one God. The Meshech Chachma writes in source 42, Tikaver b'seiva tova she'yaseh tshuva Yishmael b'yamav, hinei ma'aseh avot siman lebanim, who remez shebnei Yishmael ba'acharit hayamim yitkravu le'emet v'yaminu ba'ashem echad. That this action of Yitzchak, of going out, reaching out, and bringing Ishmael back in towards belief in one God is what will dictate the future perspective that Bnei Ishmael will recognize that there's one God. And he continues to say at the end, Shagam hu, and also regarding Zeshedikesh Yitzchak al Esav Yuchan Rasha, and that's what Yitzchak tried to do with Esav, Shagam hu yitzchak me avodat gulilim ba'acharit hayamim v'yatshuva ba'aretz nechachut v'chein v'yireg ha'ot Hashem v'yeh oved v'chule v'chule v'yomahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. That means that what the Meshech Chacham is claiming over here is that Yitzchak's orientation to both Esav and to Ishmael is not an orientation which is limited to what you would call the real politic, to what is really going on in the world right now, but rather his orientation was seeing things from a perfected perspective, seeing things from the future, seeing things from the point, as Yimalei Tzchok Pinu, because that's what Yitzchak is. Yitzchak is this idea of the future, there will be laughter, seeing the world from a perfected place. That is what it means that Yitzchak goes to Gan Eden, because Yitzchak now has become transformed. Yitzchak now sees the world from Gan Eden. If you can convince me that you can go to yeshiva for 3 years and see the world like this, then I'll accept the pshat that he went to yeshiva. But that's what it means when the Midrash is saying that Yitzchak went off to Gan Eden, and therefore when he calls him in, he senses the reach of Gan Eden. Of course, what Yitzchak doesn't understand at that point is that the reach of Gan Eden that he senses is not right then in this world. It was not with Esau. In this world, it was only with Yaakov that he sensed Gan Eden. As far as the future perspective, which is the way that Yitzchak sees things, in the future, even a person like Esau will be able to come back. And therefore, what the Meshech Chachma is teaching us is that this, you know, messianic idea that the children of Ishmael, which as we know is the Muslim world, and the children of Esau, which is identified with the Christian world, their ability to come back and to recognize one God and one day to be able to achieve world peace and get to a point of Aziyah Malayis Chokinu, all of that comes back from Yitzchak's actions, but all of that is what Yitzchak saw. What Yitzchak perhaps didn't see, and that you can decide if he saw more than us than less of us, what Yitzchak didn't necessarily see was as things worked in this world right over here. Because Yitzchak's perspective was forever changed from laying on top of that Mizbeach and having the angels cry in his eyes, and therefore he sees things completely, completely different than the rest of us. And that's what the Zohar is telling us. This is who Yitzchak is. Yitzchak is somebody who sees the world from the Mizbeach, who sees the world from Gan Eden. Whether he dies or not, all that becomes irrelevant at this point. It's not that he dies. Where is Yitzchak? Yitzchak is not part of this world. Where is Yitzchak? Yitzchak is in Gan Eden. Does it mean he's really in Gan Eden? Of course he's not really in Gan Eden. But where is he? The next time we see him, he's wandering around by a place where there was a revelation. And that he feels drawn to that. He keeps on having to go back to this because Yitzchak is somebody who's been to one revelation. He needs this place of revelation. He needs a place of spirituality because he sees the world through that type of perspective. And that is what colors his various relationships. But all of this comes from seeing the world from a slightly different place than we see. Yes?
Yitzchak's ideas to reconciliation and do all, how does he then inject that word that Yaakov stole your bracha to Esau and thereby exacerbate the rift between Esau and Yaakov? It just so strongly against everything that...
Yitzchak perhaps believed that this future perspective could have been now. And that's what he learns is not correct. The future will be. And he perhaps believed that in this world as well, there could have been something positive about Esau, but in the end it doesn't work in this world. It only works for the future.
But saying that to Esau just
perhaps
gets the sin up between the two of them.
Perhaps, but then again it was told there that he was very frightened by that whole thing, that he actually had misunderstood something. Yes?
If it was a spiritual change,
someday reality has to be different than this. So anytime, I guess, if you're a person like that, if you're dealt this horrible tragedy like his mother dying, then he can think towards the future. Someday there'll be someone else. There'll be something else.
And he sees
always going to feel